Hi, Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about, I think in the first episode, I actually called you Vanya Arslanian, and I don't really call you like Vanya Arslanian. But you really do call me Mike Jensen.
I love it. I mean, when we're just hanging out casually, I just call you Mike. But Mike Jensen, I just like it. It comes out of my mouth real nice. I don't know.
It's very natural.
It is. It really is. I've missed you since last week, as per usual.
Yeah. How was your Thanksgiving?
You know what? It was fine. It was just us, me and my husband and my two children. And we didn't make turkey. We did a duck and a little Cornish game hen. And we did all the sides, and everything was delicious. It was really good. It was just a little, you know, I think I resolved myself in a way where I'm like, this isn't going to be what it usually is. Either because we've not always been able to get back home to our parents or family. So it's not for us not being around them. It's not the end of the world. Like, we've done it, but we've always been with friends. So yeah. Yeah. That was tough. In fact, not that I want to skip ahead to my, you know, what I could do without, but that's kind of what I could do without is. I'm going out of order. Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. I'll bring it up again later. You guys, really excited. It's going to be great. Sorry. But it was fine. How about you?
Yeah, I was literally just at my friend Dana's apartment.
Hi, Dana.
And she had ordered, I mean, we couldn't, like, it's really, I can do the cooking. Like, I have made a turkey before, and I have made, like, potatoes from scratch, and I have made gravy. But we just did fresh direct. So,
oh, that's nice.
It was like, a little turkey breast that arrives and, you know, mashed potatoes and just, like, some sides. But it was very, very simple. I brought over some meats and some cheeses for kind of an appetizer while we...
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, we always watch the two main Thanksgiving West Wing episodes.
Oh, that's amazing and hilarious. I love it.
Yeah, so that was fun. And then our friend Annabelle came over. Mm. She worked at her restaurant that day. So she came out afterwards, and we ended up staying. I was so tired because I can't go to bed at night. I'm not very good at sleeping these days.
Yeah.
But I've been like making myself get up at a fairly reasonable hour. So I was so tired. Even like 6 or 7. And I remember thinking like, all right, when Annabelle comes over, I made from scratch pumpkin cheesecake.
What?
Now, by scratch, I will say that I used canned pumpkin puree.
Okay, fine. I think that's allowed. That's still scratch, yeah.
And it was, so I was saving that for all three of us getting together. Vanya, it was so good.
Oh my God. Did you eat the whole thing?
It's gone. It's gone now. I've had a little bit at dinner time every day for the last few days. So yeah, I had the last of it. Last night, the night before.
Oh.
Yeah, it's gone. It was so good though.
So wait, yeah. I have a question though. I've been watching a lot of the Great British Bake Off. I love that show. But don't you have to use like some special kind of like contraption to like hold in a cheesecake?
Yeah. So 4 years ago, when I said that I was going to originally make a pumpkin cheesecake, Dana actually bought me, I think it's called a spring-loaded pan.
Okay, sure. That sounds right.
And so for like 3 years in a row, she's been like, you're going to make the cheesecake this year, right? And every year I'm like, yep. And then at the last minute, I'm like, nope, I didn't do it. I just went and bought one. So this year I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get this stuff. I am going to make it. It was kind of complicated because there's a lot of weird little ingredients that I had to like run around and find.
Yeah. And isn't it, there's timing too, right? Like there's timing.
So I very specifically did a no-bake cheesecake.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah, that's good.
So there was less timing involved. You have to just... Well, so here's a discovery that I made. I like these stories about me just being dumb. So I knew I needed cream cheese. Obviously, you need cream cheese to make a cheesecake.
Right.
So I'd gone to the store on like Tuesday night because I was going to be smart and avoid the Thanksgiving lines.
Yeah.
That doesn't work on it. But the Tuesday before Thanksgiving is still crazy. Like the grocery store was so crowded. It was probably more crowded because I was actually using like a cart, which you know in New York.
Yes. Did you go to the one down?
I went to the big one down the hill. Yeah. And you can kind of get around, but of course, even right now, all of the aisles, I don't know if LA is doing this or not, but all of the aisles are technically one-way aisles.
Yeah, they're doing that.
So no one else was following it.
Right.
No one else. But of course, I'm that person that I'm like, I will follow those arrows. I will only. So I had to do a lot of like going down this aisle to get to this aisle. And then, yeah. So whatever. I bought a package of cream cheese.
Good. Good job.
Yeah, but then I got home and you need more than one pack of cream cheese to make a cheesecake.
Oh, you do. What do you need, like 4 or 6?
So it says that you need 3. So that was fine. Because in my mind, clearly I don't make a lot of things with cheesecake. I mean, with cream cheese. Because in my mind, each pack has 2 packs because it looks like a butter pack. And so I assume there are 2 things in there. So the next day, Wednesday morning, I had to go pick up some stuff on the Upper West Side. So I went down to a grocery store near there that I really like, that has the coffee that I like. And I bought another pack. Well, first of all, no, I didn't. I didn't buy another pack because they only had tubs. And of course, in my mind, I'm like, I don't know if that's the same thing. Like, I don't know if a tub is the same kind of cream cheese as a packet. So I couldn't buy it there. So I went to that grocery store for nothing. So I came back up and uptown, and I go to the little grocery store right next to my apartment, and I bought another pack because now I'm going to have 4 packs because I think each pack has 2 packs.
Oh, dear God. Oh, no.
And I'm actually kind of excited for the extra pack of cream cheese. I'm like, I can use this just for fun. So that day, that was Wednesday. So I was editing our last week's episode, and I got done probably like 9 or 9:30. And I'm like, well, this is, you know, it's later than I meant for it to be, but I can make that cheesecake now. And of course, the first thing I do is open the thing of cream cheese. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I still don't have enough cream cheese. So I had to go back down the hill because at that point the grocery store here closes at 9. So I had to go down the hill and like thankfully we were still open. And I like bought a thing of cream cheese and had a conversation with the checkout person of like, there's always that one thing that you don't realize you need.
And she's like, don't talk to me.
Oh, she's like, God. I don't want to talk to you. She was actually very, very friendly.
Oh, that's good. That is so hilarious.
So that was the long story about cheesecake.
Do you know what I've started doing?
But, it was delicious.
I'm so jealous and I wish I had a bite of that or a whole piece or the whole thing, but I've been weighing it, so I've been doing like ounces or whatever, and so that way you could be like, okay, this is how much I need, and you can look on the cheesecake or the cream cheese container.
Well, and it even just said 3 8-ounce packages, so I'm sure that the tub, I just didn't know because I feel like that cream cheese is maybe like lighter. I don't know, I've never made things with cream cheese.
Oh,
so
God,
it was a new experience for me.
It's a great story. That's so funny.
It was good, though. I will say, I love duck. I'm kind of jealous that you had duck.
Oh, it was so good. Honestly, it was really good. He did duck à l'orange.
Yum.
Because he likes to do that. It was ridiculous. Like, my mouth is watering thinking about it. But I think if we were to do it again, we would maybe just do the breast because the whole thing it's complicated. That's a lot of bones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the kids were, like, not into it at all. They just, honestly, I don't know how they're alive right now. I don't think they've eaten for days. Although, let me just correct that. They're having suckers, lollipops right now. Because I'm like, stay out of my room. I have to do something. I make it sound really official. I'm like, I have a very important meeting. And I need you to stay out in the living room, please. Because my daughter's school is done at this point. So, yeah, bribery. It doesn't always work.
So it's lollipops for dinner?
Yeah, they had lollipops. It's a snack. They'll have dinner in an hour or two, you know, because I'm on West Coast time.
Right. I sometimes do forget that you are much earlier in the day than I am.
I know. Me too. I mean, so updates on California lockdowns. It's just getting worse. I think I'm going back to not looking at the news so much. Honestly, we don't really go anywhere. I usually order my groceries from Instacart, which it's ends up being a lot more because you tip, and which whatever, I'm happy to give people money, you know, workers and stuff like that, but I just didn't want to go out. So now I'm starting to get the agoraphobic thing again where I like don't want to leave, don't want to see anybody, kind of feeling really stressed about it. And like I get the New York Times daily, you know, like here's what's happening in the world, but I also get one for California from the New York Times, and it is not hopeful. And they're basically like by mid-December in like 2 weeks, you know, the hospitals are going to be full. And I'm just like, it puts like a sick pit in my stomach. It's been a rough week with that kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling like a little bit, I mean, yay for our new, for like the orange guy is going to be gone soon for me, and no offense to anyone else, but like I'm so happy and that was a great news. And so, yay, I let myself celebrate. And now I'm like, oh, I think I have to go back to not looking at the news and just keeping our head down, staying safe. But it's very stressful. I don't like it.
You know, I feel like because, I mean, it's hard with California because you just think like, I feel like California was going through it at the same time that New York was going through it. And so it's I don't want to say crazy. It's exhausting to me that you guys are still going through it.
Yeah. It's worse. I mean, I think we were behind you guys in a way and then, but then I feel bad because a lot of the places that hit the hardest are the ones where like migrant workers are living and their quarters are, you know, it's unavoidable to not be around, you know, they're sleeping six in one room kind of thing. And so it's, you know, it's probably not necessarily my neighborhood or at, if I go to the grocery store, but maybe that's the thing. We always have to assume, right? The worst. I just, it's a very loaded, sad, scary thing. And they've taken, there's no more outdoor seating, which is what they were doing here for a while. Cause they can, there's space. They can really space people out and nobody has to jump any bike lanes over here, by the way. By the way, I bought Mike. So I was like, hey, did you get my package? I bought you some gloves. And you're like, wait, you bought me?
It was just so funny because literally that day, yesterday, I have a package in the mail. And sometimes I'm like, did I get drunk and buy a Kate Blanchett DVD? Because I definitely went through that phase. That was a very specific phase in my life. But I was like, I don't feel anything in it. Like, I feel like it's empty. Like, I don't know what was in this. And I opened it and it's like fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
And I was like, I went on my Amazon app to like trace, look, we are like my orders.
Well, and I put a hilarious, mind you, note in the comment, you know, when you're sending a gift. And apparently they didn't send it with that. But I, so yeah, because last week we talked about him, his fingers being cold. And I'm just like, it's going to be Mike in shorts, but with fingerless gloves, because that's what's cold is his fingers. But I'm glad that they got to you.
No, I did get that. I was like texting friends. I was like, what do you think? How do you think I got these? It was a very strange occurrence. So those aren't the only thing that you sent me recently. As you said last week, which for the record, I oftentimes now in a loop in my head will get, I'm gonna buy you the book. It's going in the mail. It's a really catchy ditty that you made up last week that gets stuck in my head from time to time now.
I love it. Yes, I got him the book. I got him Wrinkle in Time. And also a book that he and I had talked about a long time ago called Bird by Bird. And it's a writing book by Anne Lamont.
So are you ready for an amazing story?
Yes. Tell me. Is this a what you're digging?
No. This is having to do with the book you sent me. Because
okay.
We had our discussion about books that kind of like changed us or affected us. And I brought up a book by Anna Quindlen, who's my favorite author. And
yes.
You, of course, brought up A Wrinkle in Time.
I did.
There's a foreword in this version of A Wrinkle in Time. And guess who it's written by?
Are you freaking kidding me? Anna Quindlen?
Yeah, Anna Quindlen writes a foreword.
No.
In this version of A Wrinkle in Time.
What the hell? That's
Isn't that
crazy, Mike. Yeah. You guys, that's absolutely nuts. We're in sync, I guess, with both all those people.
Yeah, wow. It was pretty amazing. I opened it, I was like, is this a joke? Like, is this serious? Yeah, I haven't read it yet. Ooh. I'm very excited to read it.
Oh no, take your time.
But yeah, I thought that was so funny when I opened the book and there's this introduction by Anna Quindlen.
I'm actually in shock a little.
Yeah, right?
That's just, yeah.
So weird.
Okay, so what are you digging this week?
So, all right, I'm trying to figure out the best way to get into this and the best way to say it, because it's a little different than it's been in weeks past. I'm not necessarily bringing something up that I think, not that I don't think others would enjoy it, check it out, but a lot of times I'll be like, watch this TV show or listen to this album. And that's kind of true for this one too, but it's coming from sort of a different place. I want to first of all acknowledge that we're all going through it, that we're all in this pandemic, we're all like adjusting to this not forever, but for now reality. And I've been really, I've been having a really, really hard time just trying to like figure out what am I supposed to be doing? Like, what am I doing next? Like, and it's such a hard time to be like, what should I be doing with my life? Because, you know, we talked about this. I can't just, our options are limited right now. And I am loving doing this with you. This is amazing. And I'm editing what is ostensibly the last three episodes of the other podcast that I've been working on with Elise. But I've just been in a crazy state. Like this last week, Well, so last week was hard because it was really busy. Like I had like 4 days off in a row, but it was all, every day was devoted to like getting things done, which is fine. That's probably actually a really healthy place to be. But I kind of got to the weekend and was like sort of so overwhelmed by everything that I couldn't even wrap my brain around getting out of bed.
Yeah.
Or like what to do once I get out of bed, or like I want to do something creative, but I don't know what it is. And I don't, you know, I used to write music all the time and I used to love writing music. And I don't know if I'm just out of practice or I'm just out of habit and I need to like figure out how to get back in that habit. And all of this is bringing me to actually two different things that I think I discovered one day after the other. And one was actually on Thanksgiving when I was at Dana's and she brought up this song by Sarah Bareilles that I'd never even heard of before. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. I don't know. I don't think she has a new album or anything. So Sarah Bareilles has a new album and it's not even really new anymore. It like came out over the summer.
And oh my God.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about it. And like, I knew that she was doing a TV show. Like she's executive producing a TV show. I don't think really based on her life, but about a singer-songwriter in New York. And I kind of meant to watch it. My problem with, it's on Apple TV Plus. And my problem with that particular streaming service is that I have to watch it on my computer.
Oh.
Like I don't have an Apple box. And even if I did, I don't have any more HDMI out, like inputs on my TV set. So, And it's fine. Like I have a computer that is larger than any TV screen that either of us grew up with probably.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't necessarily want to sit in my bedroom and like watch a TV show on my computer. Anyways, so I think the TV show kind of came and went without me really realizing it. It's called Little Voice, which is the same title as Sarah Bareilles' first album.
Oh, yeah.
So the new album is actually called More Love, Songs from Little Voice Season 1. And what I love about it and what I think is really working for me with it is that it's sort of written from the perspective of her just getting started.
Oh.
So it's written from the perspective of like trying harder and like not knowing what you're doing with your life. And I always feel a little bit, you know, whatever, I'll just go ahead and say it. Like I always feel a little bit silly being a 43-year-old who's like, I don't really know what I'm doing with my life. But it's been a really, it was a cool journey to listen to and kind of like reflect on beginnings and still, you know, figuring it out. And, you know, we're all still figuring it out. Even people who are successful and are on like the track that they want to be on, we're still figuring it out. So that was I'm really, really enjoying this album. And then paired with Taylor Swift put out a new album several months ago called Folklore. And it was one of those albums that like, I like, didn't love, like, and only cause it's very kind of like meandering. It's very mid-tempo and ballad. And that's not really where I want to be right now. Like I kind of need something a little bit more, you know, upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't dislike it, but it wasn't really my thing. I listened to it a few times. So she just put out a companion, not documentary, but it's her and the two main writers of the album that have finally gotten together and are in a recording studio. And she sort of tells the stories of writing the songs and then she performs them. And I just found it reminded me that I love writing music and that I love having an idea and figuring out how to make that into a song. And I haven't done anything about it yet, but I will say those two things together have felt really inspiring and have made me feel, have reminded me that songwriting is something that I love and something that I need to do. And it's an important activity.
And the wheels are starting to turn.
Yeah. So there you go. Those are the things that I can dig, but check them out. But really they were for me. They're things that really, really inspired me. So there you go.
I would also recommend reading the book Bird by Bird, which is more about writing like fiction or, you know, just stories, but it also talks a lot about being stuck. So that might be a good, even the first couple chapters, I have not finished it. Well, I'm so happy because all of the music that you've written that I've heard, I just feel very, it's so good. So no pressure from this girl over here, but I'm happy that the wheels are, they're moving again.
Yeah.
My digging is actually about kind of like a book, or not kind of like a book. What am I saying? God. I also have to say, I started a new job this week, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I'm so happy.
It's like, honestly, I've been out of work for quite a while. And this is like, I feel very blessed, you know, but I really do. I feel very lucky because it's like impossible. I was having a hard time getting a job before the pandemic. So anyway, yeah, so my brain has been occupied. However, I think I mentioned last week or the week before that I haven't read like a full book, like by looking at words.
Right.
Since my daughter was born 7 years ago. And that's not totally true. I've read like maybe three, but I listen to audiobooks all the time. But my friend Avrin and co-host, I love that she's always giving me suggestions because she loves to read and she's just like loves content. And anyway, she was saying, Vanya, you have to read this book. I'm almost done with it. I'm bringing it over. You have to read it. Have you heard of the book called Untamed?
I don't think so.
Glennon Doyle is the author. It is incredible. And so I have not gotten all the way through. But I'm working my way. I'm very excited. I am on page like 75. For me, that's amazing, you guys. I have to, and like a real page. But I'm trying to explain it. It's Untamed. It's basically about how, and she writes so well. And so it's so just meaning like you just are on the journey and it's really fun. You want to grab everything she says. And it's about being raised a certain way and basically teaching herself how to be untamed. She tells of a story in the beginning of the book of her and her actual wife now were taking their kids to the zoo and they were watching the cheetah run. And there was a whole longish story short. She saw the cheetah go from being tamed and like doing the run to as soon as the cheetah got into her in you know, her own place, like raising her head high and finding the wild again. And she does discover that, you know, she has a husband, she's a writer, and she's done everything she thought was right. She was very Christian. And she finds out that her husband's like cheating on her this whole time. And this is real. This is not a fictional book. And she was pissed and not, the thing is she was upset because he fucked up her story. Mm-hmm. Like she had written a story and he that's why she wasn't in love with him. And I think that was a big like thing for her. She was like, oh my God, I don't love him. And she ends up meeting a woman who is like everything. It's amazing. Wonderful. You have to read the book. But there's one chapter that it's called Feel. And I'm not going to read you the whole chapter, but I'm going to see if I can. So the first time she got pregnant was the first time she got sober. And so she talks about being on her sixth day of sobriety. She went to a recovery meeting and she spills, you know, she talks, does her thing. She's like, I'm Glennon. I've been sober for 6 days. I feel awful. I think this awfulness is why I started drinking in the first place. I'm starting to worry that what was wrong with me wasn't the booze. It was underneath it. It was me. It doesn't seem like being alive is as hard for other people as it is for me. It just feels like there's some kind of secret to life I don't know. Like I'm doing it all wrong. And then she's basically like, thanks for listening. She gets out. And this woman comes up to her and she's like, you know, thank you so much for sharing. I can relate. I just wanted to tell you something that somebody told me in the beginning. She said, it's okay to feel all the stuff you're feeling. You're just becoming human again. You're not doing life wrong. You're doing it right. If there's any secret you're missing, it's that doing it right is just really hard. Feeling all your feelings is hard. But that's what they're there for. Feelings are for feeling. All of them, even the hard ones. The secret is that you're doing it right and that doing it right hurts sometimes. Anyways, she goes on to say, you know, she has like a list when she looks in the mirror every day now. She sees something that says, you know, feel your feelings. And she discovers that she can feel everything and survive. And what she thought would kill her didn't. I just love that. And then she says, this is an interesting part that she talks about using pain to become. She talks about this is numbness keeps us from becoming who we're supposed to be or however that is. And she talks about, this is why every great spiritual teacher tells us the same story about humanity and pain. Don't avoid it. You need it to evolve, to become. And you are here to become. Like Buddha, who had to leave his life of comfort experience all kinds of human suffering before finding enlightenment. Like I don't know why I just love this, but like Moses, who wandered for 40 years in the desert before seeing the promised land. Like Wesley from The Princess Bride, who said, life is pain. What does he say? Life is pain, Highness. Anyone who says differently is selling something. And like Jesus, who walked straight toward his own crucifixion. First the pain, then the waiting, then the rising. All of our suffering comes when we try to get our resurrection without allowing ourselves to be crucified first. There is no glory except straight through your story. What? what? I don't know. It got me. I was just like, oh my God. Because I think that like I, you know, it was a concept of like trying to not feel any pain or not feel any unhappiness or something, you know, like, because we're always taught we're supposed to be happy. Like I work in advertising and like advertising is like, you're supposed to, if you're beautiful, you're happy. If you're blah, 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 you know? And it's just, I just love that. And even like the first time I had my daughter, it really hurts to have a child. Like it hurts beyond the pain that you could even understand. I like to explain it as like fire diarrhea with cramps and like you think you're gonna die, but that's not for everybody. And I don't want to deter you from having children, guys. It's gonna be fine. And you can have an epidural if you want it. But anyways, my second child, I didn't want to be so afraid of the pain. I was terrified of the pain with my first daughter. And I was like clenching, like I couldn't relax and just let things happen. I don't know. So I'm a little obsessed with feeling, you know what? No, I'm obsessed with not being afraid of pain, like heart pain, you know, like emotional pain, physical pain. I don't want to be scared of it. It's annoying to be scared of it. I want to be courageous and be able to walk through the fire to become again. I don't know. So that was, I'm only on page whatever I said before, and I'm still reading this book, and it is so inspiring to me. So highly recommend. There's also a section that I haven't gotten to yet about how the generations were taught to raise their kids and how our generation was taught to raise their kid and how we just need to like let a lot of things go and just be kind to ourselves and to our kid, you know. Yeah, that's my digging.
That's great.
It's called,
I love it,
Untamed, Glennon Doyle.
That sounds great. I'll definitely check it out.
I'm gonna buy you the book. It's coming in the mail.
It's a really catchy song. So we already know what you could do without. You could do without not, yes, being able to see your family. Is that kind of what it is?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. I just feel, I don't like being told no to anything. So if I'm told I can't do something, I want to do it, basically. I mean, besides like murder people and steal things. But, you know, like if you tell me I can't eat that cookie, I'm going to really think about eating that cookie, like for the whole day, you know? So I miss my family. I miss the fact that we could see them and hug them and, you know, and friends too, because my friends are like my family, you know, you, Mike.
Yeah.
That's what I could do without. I'm like, it hasn't fully broke me, but I get right near the surface of the shell and I'm like, how about you?
Yeah. I mean, well, on the same, to add to that, I mean, we kind of had it with my mom. I'm sure that I've talked about it before, that my mom is of a certain age and has, you know, respiratory and heart issues, and she's diabetic. And I didn't know this, but my brother who lives at home is now working in a grade school, so he can't see her. Like he, because he's around people and kids all day, like he can't go to her house. So it's just been really tricky as far as like, you know, she's ended up spending Thanksgiving with one of my sisters, and I don't know what's going to happen at Christmas. I'm not going home, but I don't even know who she's allowed to be around. Yeah, it's complicated and it's yucky. But I think we have to hold on to the idea that we're not that, we're close. We're so close.
Yes, thank you.
To the end of this. And if we can just like hold on and know that like this, it's going to suck right now, but there's every chance that there'll be, some people will be allowed to have a vaccine before Christmas.
That would be amazing.
So,
yeah, okay, great. I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on the positive, because even though we do need to feel the pain and go walk through it, but I also just need to be positive too. That does help.
Yeah, I feel you. So the thing, I feel kind of bad because mine is so broad this week, but it's all, I kept trying to think of something like funny that I could do. I cannot deal with the lying. I can't deal with, it's such like a liberal person thing to go to, but like I see clips of Fox News where they have, what is Giuliani doing? Like, what is he doing? He's literally going around and saying, no, Trump won, this election was rigged.
Yeah.
And it's nonsense. It's complete nonsense. But there are swaths of people who believe it. Like, we have like millions of people who will go to their graves thinking that this election was rigged for Biden, that because of like voter drops that happened, which they're making it sound like they dropped votes. No, the drop is like when they announce what the votes went. Like, it just, it makes me crazy. And it's so completely unhealthy and so the
right,
the attempt at undoing democracy that it really, I mean, I don't be terrified. Don't watch the news. I know that like we all need to like take a break too.
Right.
But it like, it just is infuriating and it's really, really, truly scary. And it truly is a threat to democracy. And this is the United States of America. And I'm talking about the fact that I feel like we got and are still so close to like losing our democracy. And that is not hyperbole. That is not me being over the top. That is the actual truth. And it's just that's what I could do without. It's like, just stop lying. Stop lying.
I agree. I completely agree.
Sorry. It was like, so just, big and broad. Adults, but like,
no, I think that's great. I think it's so vexing. And it's like our adults in our, you know, I'm teaching my kids to not lie.
Right.
And I talked about this a lot, but you know, it's like, be a good freaking example and don't be an evil monster. Like, what is wrong with them?
Yeah.
I just like, I need them to get out.
It even comes down to like,
obviously nothing is completely solved, but
right. It even comes down for me for like every other, like, every Republican senator and congressperson should have at this point come forward and said, Biden is the next president.
Yeah.
This election went legally as it should. This is what happened. Like, it is irresponsible of any politician to not do that right now.
I agree. Yeah. That's a fair statement.
Okay. So this week's topic is a happy thing.
Okay. Topic time.
Because I was thinking about family and I was thinking about not being around my family. And I usually see my family twice a year. I've gone home every Christmas. This is literally the first Christmas of my entire life that I won't be with my family at home.
Oh, wow.
Which is lucky on my part. Like, I say that, yeah. I don't even mean that as a sad thing about this year. Like, I'm so lucky that I've always been able to go home. But I also usually see my family once a year in the summertime, because since I can remember, since I was like 5 or 6, my family goes to the beach every summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about that. I was thinking about family vacation, and I was thinking about how my family, even when we, you know, when I was very young, we did not have money. My dad was a public school teacher. My mom worked in the cafeteria at the elementary school that I went to. You know, we didn't have a lot of disposable income, but we went to the beach every single summer. And oftentimes we stayed at this kind of weird little house that had 2 bedrooms and then 2 sets of bunk beds and 1 tiny bathroom downstairs. And it was kind of a walk to the beach. But I have such fond memories of that house. And I think about it now and I'm like, it was kind of a crappy little house. And I didn't know. I was a little kid and I thought it was fun. And like, it was just fun being at the beach. I've always thought about how lucky I am to have those family vacations since I was such a little kid. I was wondering, what about your experiences? Did you guys go on vacation when you were young?
We did. You know, we did. We would go to see family. We did, you know, but I think for me, this is something I would have never, ever said it as a kid, but something I think finally that we did every summer. Okay, so my parents, you know, they're workers, like they want to get stuff done. They don't want to necessarily hire someone to do stuff. So every summer there was a big undertaking of like, we're painting the outside of the house. We're painting the inside of the house. We're building a retaining wall. We're digging a hole so we could have a pool. I'm not kidding. We're rototilling something for the garden. And I used to, when I was little, I think I kind of liked it because I was just putzing around and probably never had to do the real work. But like, we were all there together. And I feel like it's taught me, I think fondly on it because, you know, when you're done with the day and then you're eating your watermelon at the end of the day and eating, you know, whatever, it's so, you got to spend time with your family. You got to accomplish something. And I really look fondly on that, back on that, because I personally love getting stuff done, but I also, like, we had such pride in all the things that we did that we, you know, I'm not kidding. We helped build a retaining wall because we all wanted a pool so bad. And my dad was like, all right, we'll find a way. You know, we've got the money to do it, but we're going to build the retaining wall because it saves us a certain amount of money. And we did. It was like insane. I hope to do that with my kids. I really do. And I know they'll bitch and moan like we did throughout it, but hopefully it will give them some character and some like some grit, you know? So that is, I know it's kind of like off, but it is something we would, and it would take whatever we did, it would take us a week to 2 to a month, whatever it was, whatever the project was. So thanks, Mom and Dad.
I love that. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Do you have a random fact?
Okay, so here's my random fact. In Italy, this is not a helpful fact for anyone except for, I guess, if you're having a organ transplant in Italy and they're, and the weather's so bad you can't take a helicopter. This is my random fact. It is that Lamborghini has donated 2 Lamborghinis to the police force in Italy, and they are specifically for organ transplant. Organ transports.
Wow.
So if the weather is bad and the I know, isn't that weird? Just a random ass crazy fact. And I guess good job, Lamborghini. But these cars look amazing. They look like police vehicles, but like a Lamborghini. You know, they're like really sleek and low to the ground and sexy. A sexy Lamborghini. Wow. So that's my weird random fact.
What a sexy way to get your heart delivered.
Yeah.
Well, mine was something that I kind of had heard. I'd heard about it before. But like it's like a really brief like throwaway line, I think, like actually on a West Wing episode. So I looked it up because I wanted to know if it was true. I wanted to like check the veracity of it. But it turns out that it is true that it costs more than a penny to make a penny.
What? Is that real?
It actually costs more than 2 cents. It's like 2.7 cents to make a penny. Like the Treasury lost like $67 million in 1 year from making pennies because they're not worth what they are to make.
Whoa.
And in fact, it costs over 7 cents to make a nickel.
Whoa, man, that's...
And I don't know what to do about it. Like, I don't know.
I guess we just go to like paper money. I don't know what.
Eliminate the penny, which is never going to happen for another good fun fact reason that I can't remember. But maybe I'll do research on that for next week. So there you go. Pennies and nickels.
Interesting. Guys, I just want to go and say thank you to everybody who's listening. And, you know, we are having a really good time connecting with each other. And we're hoping that you guys are taking something out of it as well. And yeah, it's a tough time we're living right here in this pandemic-y world. And I'm going to, on Mike's, you know, I'm going to focus on the vaccine that's going to happen. And our weak and our essential workers are going to get those vaccines first. And then things will slowly come back to normal in like, what, a year or two? Oh, God.
I think we can look forward to a great end of next summer, fall.
Yeah.
But I think it'll get less tragic before that. You know, like it's going to be the essential workers first. I think it is going to be, hopefully my mom falls into a category that comes along fairly quickly. And I think that once that starts happening, because it is, I don't have the statistic in front of me, but I was listening to something something to the effect of though people of any age can be seriously affected by this, we know, it is like 4 times more likely to kill you if you're over a certain age.
Right.
So I feel like even once we dial that back, like, can you imagine if no one over 60 can possibly get it? You know, like that takes such a huge,
yeah,
huge chunk of it away. So I think that things will get better,
right,
in some ways very quickly. It's just going to take a while for everything to be better. But I that's, we're going to get there. So,
yeah, yeah.
There we go. Yeah, I'm loving doing this with you. I it's funny, I'm like, are people listening? But people are, and I get really nice notes, and I hope that it's just like a nice relaxing, even though I'm like now ranting about Giuliani.
Yeah, it had to be said, don't worry.
Sorry, I had to. It's just everywhere right now. So anyway, I love you.
I love you back.
Say hi to your family.
Thanks for doing this with me.
Yeah.
You too.
And I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCantNot@gmail. We'll be back next week.
I just about hung up on you.